Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
The Astros beat the first place team in the AL West, and they're looking for more over the next 3 days. And we'll talk about that and more on today's Locked On Astros podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we're going to be joined by a special guest at about 11:30. So guys, if you're watching this, you'll definitely have to continue watching, because we're going to have a special guest. Kent Emanuel is going to be joining us at 11:30. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about today's game and talk a little bit more about what happened with Jose Altuve and who is optioned today. But don't forget, you can get Locked On Astros on podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in the car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Astros. All right, so let's go and get the show on the road. Jose Altuve, welcome back. And he had a 3-for-5 night, and it was great to see him back in the lineup, and he looked like he was having fun and he was excited to be back in the lineup. And it just seemed like he got back in that leadoff position, and he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, it was great. It was excellent. I was honestly wondering, like, why would you take Carlos Correa out of that spot? Because he had done so well, but it makes sense. You know, that is his spot. Dusty Baker gave it to him. And like you said, he did not miss a beat today. He started out the game hitting, and shoot, he almost hit a home run. The ball is about maybe 2 feet below that yellow line in the Crawford box is where it would have gone out. But to come back in, Eric, 3-for-5 today, with scoring one run and getting 2 RBIs is phenomenal. And I think Blummer mentioned it on the broadcast. This team is different when Jose Altuve is on the field, and him coming back, I just think, is a confidence booster. But Eric, if I look at this lineup and I look at hitters 1 through 5, they're all hitting over 300. The bats are starting to wake up, and this was a really good win. I mean, you come off a 3-4 series win against the Angels, then you take the Mariners and you beat them 5-2 the first game. What a tone setter for this 4-game series.
I mean, even Jordan Alvarez, after Yuli Gurriel got his third hit of the game, he's looking at second base and like, what are you doing? You can't do the same thing I'm doing. Jose Altuve is already doing it, so you can't do the same thing. So you had 3 guys in the lineup get 3 hits today. That doesn't happen very often, and even Michael Brantley had 2 hits. The Astros had 14 hits. The thing that kind of worries me is the fact that they only scored 5 runs. They had 8 runners left on base. I know, Eric, they did win the game. Yes, granted, they did win the game. That's because Jose Urquidy only allowed 5 hits and only allowed 2 earned runs. And I know Brian Abreu, he looked like the pitcher he's supposed to be. He was throwing 97 miles per hour, and he had that 90 mile per hour slider working. Everything. He looked like that dominant self that he's supposed to be. He looked like he was pitching with confidence. This is the guy he's supposed to be. Where's this guy been the rest of the season? And right. Then Ryan Stanek came in, and he looked like the – he looked like Brian Abreu. I'm like, okay, whoa, okay. So, but Ryan Stanek got the job done, and Ryan Pressly came in and got only his second save on the season. And so he did allow a hit, but the Astros pitchers did what they needed to get done. The Astros offense did enough to get the job done. The Astros are now 11-11 on the season, and we can breathe a little bit easier now that we're back at 500.
Well, you know, the thing is, For me, it's like what you mentioned and what we've been talking about. They have to come home. The pitching has to do their job. The hitting has to do, the hitters have to do their job. And I'm okay with them scoring five runs in this game and winning. It is a little alarming. They had 21 men left on base. That's a little concerning. But in a game like that, your pitchers kind of pick up that slack because your pitcher limits those runs. It keeps you from having to have those insurance runs. Now, had Seattle had a late burst, I don't know that they would have scored more than those five runs because things just weren't really working in certain situations. But, Eric, I don't know if you knew this, their first four runs of the game they scored with two outs. So that's a good thing. There's a ton of positives and negatives you can take from each game, but I like that. The first four runs were scored with two outs, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, and I know that Johnny Munoz brings up the lowest batting average from the first six batters is Carlos Gray at 282, and he was our leadoff guy for a few days. So, yeah, the Astros batting order, this is – I know we were all panicking during the slump, and I was panicking a little bit, but I knew that there was better times, and this lineup is too talented. For those of y'all who are tuning in to see Ken Emanuel, he will be coming pretty soon. He's probably going to be joining us around 11:30. So we're going to try to cut this podcast a little bit short and have a kind of a part two in a little bit. So I know that Tony brings up the double plays. He said that we've had 25 double plays this season. I know that is a good thing that you're getting on base. And I know we've had this a couple seasons in a row where you're getting on base a lot, but you're getting into a lot of double plays. Yeah. That's an issue, and I know that Bregman is a double play machine. It seems like he's always getting to those double plays, but Yordan Alvarez is on fire right now. What's his batting average? Let me see. I have to scroll over.
You're talking about Yordan Alvarez?
Yeah. He's all the way up to 308.
Yeah. You know, he's 308. Shoot, Brantley's 342, and, you know, Altuve comes back in, and he's hitting 347. I mean, you know, This team, when they are hitting, when they are healthy, you know, that was a brutal stretch. But, such a time as this that they have to get this four-game series. I think they've got to win three of these four games.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that they will. So I think that we'll have to talk about that challenge. And I think that Dusty Baker needs to buy the fans maybe something from 10-10 to kind of apologize for not challenging that call out. Tell us a little bit about 10-10.
So this episode is brought to you by 10-10. It's a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points, using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana. 10 female designers masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, and simply a beautiful conversation piece. And they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. So go today and look at this collection. It's high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight you. And again, it's at a fair price point. Let me tell you, the ring from Platt Boutique is amazing. It's so simple and clean, but the vintage details are just incredible. It's a perfect little ring that's so timeless and would make the perfect gift. If you're in the hunt for the perfect, unique ring for the woman that you treasure in your life, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so go find them by searching the words 10x10 at BlueNile.com.
All right, and if you need to get away, if you make a bad call and you're an umpire and you need to get away, you want to make sure your automobile starts. So where can you get your parts from?
Yeah, definitely. They can go to rockauto.com. Let's say your Uber car breaks down, and it is an Odyssey LX. What do? Do you go to an auto parts storefront? No. You get on your computer or you look on your phone, rockauto.com. It's an easily navigable website. It's been family owned for 20 years and they lead. Their job is to A, get you auto parts at a fair price, B, to save 30, 50, sometimes 100%. Why pay more? Why get upcharged because you're not a professional mechanic? Go to rockauto.com. Anything you want from your truck, for your car, whether it's brake pads, windshield wipers, you name it, they have it. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? And let them know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Hey guys, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering up with the Draft Network to cover this year's draft. So guys, go subscribe to Locked On NFL YouTube page and watch the live 3-day coverage starting on April 29th through May 1st, and go see all the great coverage. So speaking of great coverage, let's get back to this. And I know a lot of people are wanting to challenge that call where I believe it was Kyle Tucker was sliding into the bag and J.P. Crawford was pulled off. And I believe that it looked like his foot was kind of pulled off the bag. But Kyle Tucker kind of, it was a bunt attempt, if I remember correctly. And so he kind of hesitated for a second and didn't go directly to second base. So because the way the throw was, J.P. Crawford went off. And it did look like his foot went off the bag, but Dusty Baker did not challenge it. And so that's why Tony's asking, why did he not challenge that play? I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't matter because the Astros still won a game. But if the Mariners came back and tied the game or went on to win, yes, that would have been a big issue. Then you can go back and criticize Dusty Baker for that. But
even this, Eric, challenging is such a tricky thing. There was a play where Oakland was playing the Rays, and like they literally slid into home plate, and their whole body was on the plate. The catcher tagged him on the hip. And they called him out, and he was clearly safe. Even on the replay, you see it. It's bigger than day. So I don't know who makes the determination. I don't even know if it matters whether they're safe or out. They use this term inconclusive evidence to, I think, keep coaches and people from challenging. Because, Eric, some calls are so obviously just blatantly bad, but they never overturn them. And sometimes they overturn the ones that are questionable. And so it makes no sense to me.
Well, it depends on what was called. And so in that circumstances, he was called out. So there had to be enough evidence that the foot came off the bag. And so Dusty or whoever was on the phone, there's not enough evidence. So or they just didn't feel like worrying about it. They're already like, oh, yeah, we got this. This game's in bag or whatever. I don't know. I said on the crawfish boxes, the chat room, I'm like, that's just Dusty being Dusty. Sometimes you just don't want to challenge certain things, and so whatever. So but basically let's go ahead and move on from that. And I think Johnny Munoz says that he thinks the Astros get 3 out of 4 games in this versus the Seattle Mariners, because they're facing left-handed pitchers. The Astros seem to do pretty well versus left-handed pitchers. I hope that the Astros can do that, because I know the Mariners are a pretty good team, but looking at their batting lineup, I don't see how they're a good team, because I see a lot of low batting averages, but I know their pitching has been pretty good throughout the season. Justice Sheffield did not look good today. I mean, the fact that he gave up 12 hits and Scott Service left him in to give up 12 hits, that's taking one for the team. I know that we need to talk about Jake Odorizzi and Ken Emmanuel in a second, but to give up 12 hits and still be in a ball game, that's really taking it on the chin. But so Kyle Seager, he's another one, is the guy that's kind of killed the Astros over the years. But
yeah,
Kyle Lewis is back in the lineup. He didn't face the Astros before, so he's back in the lineup. And so this is a team that the Astros are going to have to face all year. This is a team that's going to be a challenge for the Astros. But I think that the Astros can definitely send a statement by winning the series.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, Ty France is their only 300 hitter in this lineup. And, you know, he's typically done really well against the Astros, but I'm not really worried about the Mariners, because you actually have the Oakland who's in first place right now. I think they're 13-8, and Oakland is the team that I think we really have to worry about. And Otani, good Lord, look what that guy's doing. I mean, he's having an MVP season. He's pitching and he's hitting second tonight. He's hitting second and he's the starting pitcher. That's insane. I think the AL West, Eric, is going to be somewhat competitive. And I think a lot of the clubs are going to hover around 500 for the next month. I mean, for the next few weeks, and we'll start seeing separation. Hopefully the Astros get 3 out of 4 and they can start separating themselves. Remember what I said, they still have the best run differential in the league. The Oakland A's are still at -1 run differential and they're in first place right now. I mean, that's insane.
Right. The Astros were 4-6 without Jose Altuve. And before today's game, he was batting .318 through 11 games. And now he was up to what, .347, I think you said earlier. So yeah, this guy, the Astros really need this guy in the lineup. And so we saw how big, I know with Carlos Correa at the batting leadoff, he showed a lot, but unfortunately Abraham Toro was optioned down to the alternative training site. I don't know if we call him AAA yet. I don't think that's opening up till May. So,
right.
But basically, to kind of, because he was technically on the COVID list, they needed to open a spot on the 40-man roster. So they went ahead and option and put Pedro Baez on the, from the 10-day IL to the 60-day IL. So that means that he is no longer, I mean, he is on the 40-man roster, but it allows them to put somebody else on the 40-man roster. So
right. No, yeah. And hey, just an update for those that are watching. I just got a thumbs up on my latest message to Kent Emmanuel. So he more than likely will be joining us at 11:30 tonight after we do our post-game wrap here.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So you're saying that you would bet on him joining the podcast.
I definitely would. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NFL draft is on and the Kentucky Derby is back and the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sports, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. And as your team preps for their run for the playoffs, head to the website to get your and use your device and sign up and get the 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All righty. So Jake Odorizzi is now on the IL with a right pronator muscle strain. So this is good news. I know a lot of people were kind of worried about the when you're talking about the forearm, you're talking about something that could be something a lot worse. And he's calling it the best case scenario. And he's saying that it's pretty positive, to be honest. He's saying, hopefully this takes 10 days and I'll be ready to go. I'm feeling better every day. It's a pretty positive thing. And I think it's pretty optimistic to think it's very short term, as opposed to what some of the stuff when you hear the forearm elbow area. Exactly. I think he's referring to the TJs.
Yes. No, yeah, definitely. And, you know, that is a good thing. And it's great to hear it from the pitcher himself rather than some weird coded message from the GM or from the team. So if he's saying this and only missing two turns, that's a really good thing.
Yeah. So as Johnny says, hopefully it's not that serious. And he said that it's really good that they actually took him out of the lineup at that time, or the game at that time. And
yeah,
we'll be talking to the hero of that game in a few minutes, Kent Emmanuel. And he said, this is what Jake Odorizzi said. He said, "When I came out, I didn't think it was anything too serious. I'm as happy as I could be with the diagnosis and the MRI to get back to back it up. And we'll go on with the process. And sooner rather than later, I'll be back out there." He said that he would be just as happy to pitch this weekend, but he understands why the Astros are being cautious. And so about about what Kent Emmanuel did, he said, "I want to give him a little bit of recognition because this is something that doesn't need to go by the wayside in all this. It's one of those coolest things I think I've ever seen from just a pure team effort. This guy rolled out to the mound and pretty much just threw a complete game against a division rival hats off to him for doing that. He deserves a lot of notoriety for that.
No, and you know, and that's the ultimate team like mindset. And that's what this Astros team has been about for years. And if you've been an Astros fan like we have for most of our lives, most of our adult lives, if not like me, since I was two, my first Astros game, I don't think I've seen too many Astros teams that have ever been divided. They're always playing for the other guy. They're always rooting for the other guy. There's not really, we don't have selfish players. And I think Odorizzi with that fits in nicely. And I mean, for Ken Emmanuel to have that success and for the players to embrace him with that, that's a huge confidence booster for him.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think it's really good that Odorizzi is going to take some time off. I know he showed some signs in his last start, not this start, but the start before that, where he was really dealing. And so hopefully he'll use his time, but eventually this guy has got to get it dialed in. So, Peter Solomon is back, and I'm glad this guy showed some really good potential. And so we'll have to kind of talk about who's going to be starting on Thursday. And I don't know if Dusty's told anybody who's going to be starting Thursday, but after somebody throws 8 2/3 innings, I don't know how. He stretched out. I mean,
maybe we ask him, hey, have you heard anything?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy that to think that he would not even be in that situation. So Alvarez had 3 hits for the second time this year. And then we had Yuli Gurriel have 3 hits for the fourth time this year.
Wow.
Fourth time this year. And he didn't have it at all last year. That shows really? How out of wow, shape he awesome. Was last year and how not dialed he was last year.
Well, you know, last year, I mean, I know there were some guys that did great things, but I mean, when Christian Yelich hits 204 in a season, I mean, something's not right. That whole 2020 season, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to get into the whole World Series thing, because if we had won, I would have loved it just as much as the other teams did. But that season was an anomaly. It was a weird year, you know?
Yeah. So we need to wrap up this podcast so we can kind of get transition over to the Ken Emmanuel podcast. But Dusty Baker, he got win 1309. And he is in 13th place all time by himself. And so that's a pretty good accomplishment. You sure it's 1309? Or mm-hmm. I thought it was something else.
That's what they said on the broadcast.
Okay.
That's what they said on the broadcast.
All right, let me just verify that real quick.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. No, 19. Hold on. Did I type 1309?
Yes, you did. It's fine.
It's 1903.
That's why I thought.
Typo by H-Town. It's 1903 because he's 97 wins away from 2000. So
yes, I
transpose
like,
those numbers. Yes,
because I remember thinking when I saw it, I was like, you know what? I was like, maybe he can eventually get his birth date. I don't know when his birth date is, but maybe he can get that many wins. But yeah, so I was just thinking that I'm like, he wasn't born in 1309. That's not right. So. But anyway, so yeah, Dusty Baker, he's moving on up 13th all time in wins with 1903. So congratulations with that. And we are looking forward to having Kent Emmanuel on the podcast in a few minutes. And the Astros will have who's on the mound tomorrow for the Astros?
The Houston Astros have, I believe you would put me on the spot with that, wouldn't you? I knew it yesterday because we talked about it. Gosh, dang it.
It is Christian Javier versus Marco.
Okay, Christian Javier. I couldn't remember. Yes,
Christian Javier has a 2-0 record with a 1.32 ERA. You. Then Marco Gonzalez has a 1-2 record with a 6.04 ERA. So on paper, it looks like it favors the Houston Astros. And I know that last time, this is definitely Christian Javier had his coming out party, so to speak, with the 9 strikeouts. And so we just, I think the Astros are looking for him to maybe go deeper into the game. So that's all we got for this Locked On Astros podcast. Stay tuned for Kent Emmanuel, and we'll be back live in a few minutes. Go tell your friends, spread the word. Kent Emmanuel will be on the live Locked On Astros podcast soon.